Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would open our eyes, the eyes of our hearts, that we might behold your word for as it truly is, even if we've seen it many times before. Incline our hearts this morning to you and to your word, and away from worthless things. Turn our eyes and our hearts away from the things of the world and give us life in your ways. Lord, we're so familiar with this passage, and so we need you, God the Spirit, to by your grace, let us see it fresh. And we need you to move in us. We need you to move in us individually, and we need you to move in us as a body, that we might be sent. We might be a people who are sent. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, today is part three of, let me get over here maybe a little bit. Part three of the vision. We've been going over the last couple of weeks. So we started out with beholding God. We want to see God. That's the most important thing ever. If God rules over the universe, he's the only God, then we want to know him. We want to really know him. There will be nothing more important in all of life except to know God and behold him and see his glory when we open our Bibles, that we're not just reading and sleepy-eyed, just trying to say, I read my Bible today, but we want to actually see God and meet with God. So we want to behold. The second one is we want to belong. We talked about last week, belong to one another. How do we really belong to a church? We don't belong to a church by just coming, but we belong to a church by building up other people. So God has given us gifts, and we are to build up the body of Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are to build each other up with the gifts God has given us. That's what it means to really belong. So our vision, our hope is that every single person in this church will belong to the body and build each other up. God has something in you that all of us need. But that's not the end of the line, is it? It's not just loving God. It's not just loving one another. It's not just beholding God. It's not just belonging to the body. There's something else. We can worship God. We can love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We can have fellowship with the body of Christ and love one another. But is that it? What about our family? What about our neighbors? Our co-workers? Our friends? What about our village? What about our apartment building? What about our city? What about the nations? Where I am from in America, we have close to my home actually a group of Mennonites. I don't know if you know who Mennonites are, but they're a group of people that are committed to living life in community together with one another, and they, a lot of times, some of them don't use electricity or things like that. They dress very like they did in the 1800s, and they keep life kind of to themselves. And so people in my hometown will drive out to their big farm and where they grow these vegetables organically, and we buy their fruits and vegetables. Even the cash register, that they have is mechanical, you know, no electricity. And where Amber is from, her roots are German. Her roots are in Pennsylvania, where there are a lot of Amish people. So we've had a little bit of interaction with some of these folks in the USA. So they have their own society, their own ways, their own culture, and they keep themselves secluded from society for the most part. Not all of them, okay? But they behold God. These are people that are very serious about reading their Bibles. They're very serious about worship. These are people who belong, might I say, more deeply than we do to one another. They share food, they share life together continuously. But what about society? Society they stay away from. They were doing that before we started this morning. I was hoping they stopped, but we'll see. We as followers, that's like one of the worst sounds known to man, isn't it? A hammer drill on concrete. Jacqueline's going to get them. So we as followers of Jesus Christ are to love God, love one another, and love our neighbor. So we can't just stop with church and God. We have to go beyond that. So we are, we'll say it this way, we are built up. We belong to one another to be built up. And we are built up for what purpose? To be sent. We are built up to be sent. So I want to try to be as practical as possible today in the short time that we have, because we're going to take the Lord's Supper. We want to give time to that. So today, I'm really going to talk about today being sent locally. Okay? Today, so don't think today, wow, he's not going to talk anything about missions. Okay, I'm going to do that next week, meaning global, okay? But this week, today, just locally, I'm going to talk about that. So I started in preparing this sermon to just give this fire and brimstone, scathing preaching about being sent. But you know what I discovered? We probably already know that, don't we? If you're a Christian today, you already know this. You already know. We all know that we are to be telling our family, neighbors, coworkers, and friends, those in our sphere of influence, we all know that we're supposed to be telling them about Jesus, don't we? And we all know that we're supposed to be reaching out to folks. We all know that in the flow of life, as we are going, we are to make disciples. We know that as a church here on earth, we are to take the gospel to the ethnic groups of the world who've never heard of Jesus before. We know that. We belong to the church by building one another up, but we are to be sent. We know that. So the problem is not knowledge, is it? The problem is we struggle with doing it. Why? Why? Well, I think for one, if we behold God regularly, if we don't behold God regularly, we don't spend lots of time in God's Word, and we're not really belonging to the body closely, having people speak into our lives, then we won't really care about being sent. I mean, really, if you read this book and you consume this book, it's hard to not feel the conviction that we're supposed to be sent. So I think it starts there. But even so, we all still struggle, all of us, don't we? If we would all be honest this morning in this room, we would say, I struggle with being sent out to my family, neighbors, coworkers, and friends to be a witness to them. So if you have your Bible, Matthew chapter 28. Thank you, Jacqueline. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Let's read it again. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." So I want you to see here this morning the two bookends of the Great Commission. We've talked about this before, some sermon before. I don't remember which one I did. But I want you to see the bookends because I think there's something here for us to remind ourselves about today. So you know this. So we just need to remind ourselves sometimes, though, that it says all authority on one side, okay? All authority. The word all. Authority. In heaven. How big is that? What is that? In heaven, where God rules and reigns, the one who reigns over the universe, all authority in that place has been given to Jesus. And guess what? Also on this place, where all of us scurry like little ants around this planet, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. So, think about that. If you traveled today, if you got in a... I watched the thing about Saturn and the satellite that was sent way out there, and it took it years, and it just crashed into Saturn after it ran out of batteries or something. We watched that. I think it said 7 years for that spacecraft to get to Saturn. Well, if you travel to the far side of our solar system, and you went there, Jesus has all authority there. If you travel to the far side of our galaxy, which is 100 billion light years across, if you traveled there, Jesus would have all authority there. If you travel to Andromeda, or the Pistol Star, or as far as you could travel in this galaxy, or anywhere else beyond this galaxy to another galaxy, Jesus has all authority. And where God dwells in unapproachable light, Jesus has all authority there. What about the other end? He said, "I'm with you always. I'm with you always." So, I'm with you when you go to work. I'm with you in your village. I'm with you in your apartment building. I'm with you when you're with your family in your home. I'm with you if you go on a mission trip to another place. I'm with you. So frame the Great Commission into those bookends. And he said, as you're going, literally it's not, the command, by the way, is not go in the original language. The command is not go. And you're going, but he hasn't told me go yet. The command is, as you are going, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So frame the Great Commission in and say, okay, this is what we're supposed to be doing locally and globally, locally this week. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. But I just feel so difficult. Well, maybe you need to be reminded this morning that Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. And maybe we need to be reminded this morning that He's with you in every conversation or whatever you do. All authority. All authority. And He's with us always. You see, we can't do the middle unless we really believe the other ends. We can't really faithfully make disciples, locally or globally, unless we really believe that Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. and unless we really believe that He's with us. I mean, are you going to step into a dark country where they don't know the gospel and they hate Christians if Jesus doesn't say, "I'm with you always"? Or are you going to go there if He doesn't have authority? So all of our excuses are taken away by the Great Commission. We say, well, they won't listen to me. Well, all authority has been given to me. I can make them listen. Well, I don't know what to say. Moses, I'm with you. How will we survive financially if we start ministering in this way? Well, I have all authority. The cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. Well, but Lord, they hate Christians. I have all authority, and I am with you always. So I think for some of us, when it comes to us being sent, it really comes down to belief or unbelief. Even in my own heart, I could say the reason why I maybe don't have that conversation when I should have pushed a little bit or when I should have waited a little bit longer in talking to this person, it's because I was thinking they're not going to listen. But Jesus does have all authority. Some of it is unbelief. But for most of us, it may be something else. It may be simply that we just aren't engaged. We just aren't engaged. Mentally, in our lives, in our day-to-day lives, it's just easy to not be engaged. To just not be thinking about really being sent to my family, neighbors, coworkers, and friends. And not only that, it's I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. So in the remaining time, I just want to try to be very practical and give you some direction on what to do. On what to do. So everybody is sent somewhere. No one that's a believer in Jesus can say, I'm not sent anywhere. We are, you say, well, I'm not sent to Pakistan, or I'm not sent to Timbuktu, or I'm not sent to whatever place. But you're sent to where you are, to your family, neighbors, co-workers, and friends right here in Hong Kong. Your sphere of influence. Family, that's your biological. People in your family. Neighbors, that's your geographical. Those who live close to you, live within. God puts you in your apartment building, and God puts you where you live for a reason. Don't think He didn't have any authority over that. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Him. So that means you're where you're supposed to be for a reason. Co-workers, that's your vocation. God has you where you're working for a reason. Don't be trying to get out so quickly where you work. God probably has you there to be a witness. Your vocation. What about your friends? That's your social. I'm friends with 600 people on Facebook. Well, good. Maybe God has you there for a reason. Well, how do we do it? In the normal rhythms of life, as you're going, in the normal rhythms of life, we are to be pursuing to meet and engage people. In the normal rhythms, we're not asking something exceptional. Just in your normal everyday life, the place you eat breakfast, the bus you ride, the people you meet on the subway, oh, I see them about every morning, the place you go work, your people who live in your house, the people who live around you, meeting people and engaging people. My mentor, who spoke at CBIBC some many years ago, he used to say this to us, just show up. Just show up. Meaning, sometimes we think way too hard about it. We're thinking, but I don't have this exact thing. Well, part of it is just showing up, just doing something. Just doing something. So here's some ideas for you. Start a weekly meal night in your home. start a weekly meal night in your home and just invite some other people around you and say, we're going to have soup when the weather gets cold. We're going to have food. Anybody want to come over, just come. Just invite people in your home. Host a coffee and dessert night. Maybe you don't want to cook food for everybody. Maybe just make a cake. Maybe you can, God's gifted you to make a cake. Make a cake and share some with your neighbors. Maybe you like coffee. Well, drink coffee with some other people. Organize a carpool. Maybe you commute to work and you have an automobile. You can help save some gas or travel together with other people. Start a walking or running group in your neighborhood. Maybe you run. Maybe you need to run. Start a group with other people where you can go and spend time with them. I need to run. Organize and host a ladies, this is for ladies, host a ladies artistic creation night. Maybe you can crochet or needle or something like that. What about a sports game? Maybe you love football. Host a football watching party in your home. Instead of eating lunch alone, intentionally eat lunch with someone else. Guess what? If people say, I don't have time, guess what? Everybody eats. Well, except students. Most people eat 3 meals a day. Right? So if somebody says, I just don't have much time. Well, you eat, don't you? You eat lunch? You eat dinner? Okay, well, let's eat together. Offer to throw a shower, a baby shower, or a wedding shower for a coworker. Make a list of coworkers' birthdays and find a way to bless everyone. Take walks in the evening. If you like to take a walk in the evening, if you take a walk at the same time every evening, you're probably going to run into the same people. Frequent the same places over and over again. Be a regular. I've got places that I frequent. I'm a regular, a local Cha-Ta-Tang. I eat breakfast there regularly. I walk in the door. They don't even ask me what I want. They know exactly what I want. May I meet a lot of people doing that. Think like a missionary. Take your world that you live in, and instead of thinking, oh, I'm in Hong Kong, imagine that you're not from here, and you've moved here to try to be a witness for these folks, and take those same strategies and apply them into your current world. We have to think like missionaries and stop thinking like church people. We're going to reach people. Cook extra food and give it to a neighbor. That's a great thing to do. Cook extra food and give some to a neighbor. Just cook a little bit extra and share with others. Offer to babysit your neighbor's kids so they can have a date night. Maybe your neighbors have never, ever had a date night. Or maybe they don't very often. Offer to babysit their kids so they can go on a date and invest in their marriage. Host a movie night. And if you have a skill, use that skill to help your neighbors. Maybe you have a skill at fixing computers. Offer it free of charge. So, think like a missionary in your family, neighbors, coworkers, and friends. And then prayerfully, watching and listening to where the Holy Spirit is working. Prayerfully listening to where the Holy Spirit is working. And pray for people. You know what? All you need to do sometimes to have a great conversation with somebody is just say, hey, how you doing? And I say, well, we're not doing too good. And say, can I pray for you? It's really not that hard. Can I pray for you? Rehearse the gospel. Rehearse the gospel. It helps to go over the gospel over and over and over again. You know why? You know why I put this on the screen all the time? Go on, one more, buddy. One more. Oh, it's not there. I go over the gospel all the time because I need to rehearse the gospel. What is the gospel? Gospel is God is the creator of all things. He's perfectly holy and worthy of all worship. And He will punish sin because He's holy. Man, all people, though created good, originally created good in Adam and Eve, have become sinful by nature. Their fall led to our fall. From birth, all people are alienated from God, hostile to God, and subject to God's wrath because of that. But Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross to bear that wrath that we deserve in our place, the place of everyone who believes in Him. And He rose from the grave in order to give His people eternal life. And that God calls everyone everywhere to turn away from their sins and trust in Jesus Christ to be saved. That's the gospel. You can't share it with people if you don't rehearse it. You've got to rehearse it over and over again. So how do we reach our family, neighbors, co-workers, and friends? How do we do that? We've got to rehearse the gospel. We've got to know it. We've got to use means. We've got to use ideas. We've got to actually try to share with people. And we have to remember that Jesus has all authority. He can do amazing things with our fumbling conversations. We feel like we mess it up totally. I really wanted to say the gospel, and all I really said to them was, well, God's got it under control. God can take your small words, your few words, and do wonders with them. Church, we are to behold God daily in His Word and hunger to know Him. Number one, we are to belong to the body of Christ in such a way that we are building up one another with the gifts that we are given. And as we behold God, and as we are a part of the body, we are transformed and we grow in maturity. But that's not it. God has a mission for us. God has a mission for each one of you. He wants to use you to be a witness. He wants to send you, by the way, you're already sent, to your family, your neighbors, your co-workers, and your friends. Got a simple question for you. Do you know who your neighbors are? Do you know your neighbors' names? Do you know who lives next door to you? Maybe they've lived there for 20 years and you've lived there for 20 years and you still don't know each other. That's a good test to know how engaged you may or may not be. We're built up to be sent. We are built up to be sent. We're not ponds. We're lakes. There needs to be something flowing in and something flowing out. We don't want to be a pond, P-O-N-D, that's just always receiving and always receiving and not losing anything. Where is Jesus sending you locally? Who are those people around you that He's sending you to? I would encourage you today to pray about that. Pray about where God is sending you locally. God has work for you to do. We are to behold Him and to belong to the body, and we are to be sent. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we pray that You would, by Your grace and Your mercy, that You would help us to love You with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Give us the grace to love one another just as Christ loved us. And by Your grace, would You empower us You who has all authority in heaven and on earth, would you empower us to love our neighbor as we love ourselves? Oh Lord, we confess, we love ourselves very much. Help us to love our neighbors more than we love ourselves. Lord, I pray that we would be a church. Lord, you've got to make us this. I can't make us this. We can't manufacture it. We need it to be a move of your Spirit. We need you to make us fishers of men. We need you to propel us to make disciples locally and globally. So Lord, let it sink into our bones, even to the marrow. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.